Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is New Mexico State Representative Rebecca Dow, running for re-election to the New Mexico House of Representatives to represent District 38, Grant, Hidalgo, and Sierra Counties. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, you're welcome. We'll get to long-term ideas in a moment, but first tell us about your short-term ideas for helping New Mexico during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Short-term ideas for helping New Mexico during the COVID-19 pandemic would be looking at particular issues as I receive calls from constituents. Unique and different issues come up all the time, and then we'll call and coordinate with the governor's office on the nuances of how do we get services to this disabled veteran who lives within Cavallo State Park and it's gated and barricade. So how do we get his durable medical equipment? So a lot of it's been putting out small little issues as they come up that you don't think about because of the closure, but also advocating and letting people know about the federal aid that's available, helping people get their unemployment, working with businesses that can open, develop their safe reopening plans and getting those approved with their unique and different agencies that have to approve their plans for them to reopen. And right now it's promoting a lot of, you know, safe practices that people are washing their hands, that they're social distancing when they can, that they are wearing masks if they're able, and just, you know, following as many of the rules as we can.
Well, now how about some long-term ideas for improving our economy once the pandemic ends?
I think a lot of the long-term ideas remain the same. Like, how do we stimulate our economy? And we are one of the few states that taxes Social Security income and veterans' retirement income. So by eliminating that tax, you know, we have such great weather and such a great environment for seniors. And we know that we have this silver tsunami coming, that they say. So by 2030, we will have more seniors in the United States than any other age population for the first time in the history of our country. And I want to attract retirees to New Mexico who come with retirement checks and benefits and come with disposable income and RVs and buy second homes. And so we really need to look at our tax structure for seniors in order to make that possible. Also reforming our entire tax code. A comprehensive tax reform is needed to move us forward. One of the things that we're going to have to look at is the loss of provider services, especially in rural New Mexico, and what are we going to do to bring those services back. We've got to take a look at education. Children have had very dramatic changes in the way that they're learning. What impact has that had? What resources do we need to make sure that they have equitable education to the states that have been open? And especially those with special needs and disabilities, that the Martinez-Yazzie lawsuit has not gone away. So we're going to need to be paying attention to the interventions that we've done and how those are impacting student outcomes. And still, I mean, we are a very, very heavily regulated state. Small businesses struggle, especially in rural New Mexico, to comply with the various codes and all the different agencies they have to comply with in order just to open a small business. So where can we roll back regulations, become more business friendly, help businesses thrive and grow, pay their employees more, and how do we do that while protecting public health and safety?
And what other priorities do you have if reelected?
You know, my priorities are to continue advocating for rural New Mexico. One of the things that I've seen is, for example, I serve on the education committee. There's 14 members. Six of the members are currently employees of the Albuquerque School District. Their legislative agenda is for their school district. That's their job as a representative, but it doesn't work for rural New Mexico. So elevating the voice of rural New Mexico, someone comes out and says this evidence-based model is going to be the best thing ever. It's going to change everything. Well, Albuquerque can implement it, but there's not even a qualified practitioner to go get certified in the evidence-based model in some rural communities, which means that they can't bring those programs to rural New Mexico, and when they can bring them, how do they sustain them? So I think one of the roles that I've taken is absolutely always asking, what about rural New Mexico? Even with the small business loans that we put out, we took $500 million from the severance tax fund. Those dollars usually go to capital outlay. Capital outlay is equally distributed to every representative. We took those dollars back. We called it back $150 million from transportation and another, you know, $100 million, whatever it was, from capital outlay that would have gone to every nook and cranny, and now businesses are applying for a loan. That may or may not reach my district. I hope it does, but it's not equally distributed anymore. And my guess is that more of those dollars will stay in metropolitan areas than will make it to Pinos Altos, New Mexico.
And what about healthcare access in the rural areas?
Absolutely. Healthcare access is huge in rural New Mexico, and it's not as simple as finding a provider. You have to find a provider who has a family that wants to live in rural New Mexico, and that's why telehealth is so important in some of these other expansions of being able to get a prescription through telehealth, and some of these other expansions matter. But even if we set up the best pay rates and even if we gave the best tax credits, those health providers have endless opportunities of where they can go. Everyone's short on qualified health providers. So we have to look at our schools, and we get back to law enforcement. Are our homes and neighborhoods safe? Are we competitive in education with the metropolitan areas and our neighboring states? And is this where a provider will choose to live and raise their family? So it all comes back to the very basics of government around health and safety, law enforcement, and that we have communities with good infrastructure, good roads, good water, access to broadband. I mean, these are things that will attract and retain the healthcare providers we need.
You talk about access to broadband. How is our access to broadband in New Mexico?
Well, in rural New Mexico, it's not so great, which becomes a barrier for children who are trying to learn through distance and for the educators who are trying to teach them through distance education. There's lots of efforts. I've heard estimates as much as $400 million to get that last mile. You know, it's really hard to get broadband to the family that lives in a remote area of the Gila wilderness. And it may never be cost effective. And yet there's other emerging technologies like drones beaming down 5G, which would get that access there. But then what do we know about the healthcare impact of 5G? We're still learning. So as new technologies emerge that create alternative solutions to what we're looking for is internet and or connectivity. And so, you know, being open-minded and being willing to learn about what those options are, what they cost, and what the impact is. Is it affordable? Is it sustainable? And does it meet the need?
Now, you're also involved in education. You're a founder of Apple Tree Educational Center in Sierra County.
Yes,
talk to me about that.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I grew up in Truth or Consequences, and like most young adults, after I graduated, I went to college out of state, got married, started a family and a career. So we were actually coming back, my husband, my family, and I, to visit my parents, and I saw things through a different lens. I was an adult with children, and I saw children with special needs, and their needs were not being addressed. I met a mom who only gave her child caffeinated coffee in a bottle. During that visit, I found out that one of my peers had been shot and killed in a drug deal in a public park. And so we felt compelled to leave our corporate jobs and move to Truth or Consequences, start a nonprofit. So as the founder, I selected a board of directors that was made up of community advocates, and we began developing programs that did not exist in Sierra County before. And that included licensed childcare, pre-K, home visiting, out-of-school time programming, GED and credit recovery for those parents so that they could get towards self-sufficiency, first-time home ownership programs, just anything we saw through this nonprofit where we could bring resources to Sierra County that hadn't existed before. And so that's kind of why I ended up running, because even though there is a small business development center, it's not in TRC, it's in Las Cruces, and it covers five counties. Same with economic development. The same is said with our veteran service coordinators. Even though someone's checking a box and saying that they're serving Sierra, Grant, and Hidalgo County, most of those people are not located in our county, and they feel all their services and all of their products are allocated before they ever reach our rural area. So that's one of the reasons I decided to run.
Are there other things that you would like for the listeners to know about you for the upcoming elections?
I definitely am an advocate of the Constitution. I think we have the greatest, that's one of the greatest political documents that I've ever written. And your state representatives, we don't have to be experts on everything. We're always learning. We're always listening. At least I am. And so I rely on the citizens in my district to come to me with solutions It's their families that are impacted. It's their businesses and their communities that are impacted. And they come and share their stories, and they come with solutions, and we work together. And so my job is to be their voice. My pledge is to protect the Constitution of the United States, and I will not vote for a bill that jeopardizes that or limits our liberties and freedoms.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about your upcoming re-election to the New Mexico House of Representatives, representing District 38, Rebecca Dow. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Emily. Appreciate the opportunity.
You're welcome. For KRWG Public Media, I'm Emily Guerra.